Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Erech in Daf Lamed. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur will begin 10 lines from the top of Daf Lamed. The Gemara opens with a reference to the Mishnah, Hoysa Shnas Shidafon v'chulei. The Mishnah on Daf Chof Tes Omid Beis at the beginning of this perek had made reference to a halacha, a law, that one who sells his field to a purchaser, the owner of this inheritance field that sold it is not allowed to buy it back from the purchaser within 2 years. It must remain in the hands of the purchaser for 2 years. If one of those years is a year in which the purchaser left it deliberately fallow or plowed it without planting it, even though the Pasuk makes reference to Shnei Tavuos, to years of grain production, of crop production. Nevertheless, since he electively left it fallow or merely plowed it, they still do count toward the number of two years of possession. The Gemara asks, what do I need both examples for of the purchaser having plowed it or left it fallow? The Gemara continues, Hashta hovira oilolo, once you tell me that a deliberate leaving of the field fallow counts as one of the cultivating years, Nera mibaya, Nera has to do with plowing. Do I need to be told that if the purchaser plows it, it also counts? It would be fairly obvious. The Gemara answers, Nera itzterich lei, I need to be told, especially about the case of the purchaser plowing it. Salkadai tochamino, I would have thought that amrinon lei, we tell the seller when he comes to redeem it from the purchaser. And as we know, the seller makes a calculation based on the remaining years till the next yovel, and based on the original purchase price, we'll figure out the value of each year and pay accordingly. I would have thought that the purchaser, when paying the buyer, will have to pay him for the plowing costs, because after all, he is receiving a field that had been plowed. So that I would have thought we tell him, Hav lei domeha, give the purchaser the value of the plowing, v'leisak, and then take the field away. So that I would have thought that if one of the 2 years happened to be a year where the purchaser plowed it, that he should get paid for that. Komash malon, that's what our Mishnah comes to tell us, that no, the owner who's coming to redeem it doesn't pay for that. He simply pays for the balance of years till the next yovel, and pays a per year rate. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Mochro Loi Vechule. In the Mishnah, the Mishnah made mention of a person, a purchaser, may in fact, after holding it for 2 years, return it to the owner, where the owner pays him for the balance, and the Mishnah mentions that you could have a situation where the purchaser actually benefited 3 crops within 2 years. Even though the Pasuk makes reference to 2 years of crops, nevertheless, a situation could arise where he actually had 3 crops in the 2 years. The Braisa elaborates on this. Tanya, Reb Elozer Omer, Minayin Shimochro Loi Lifnei Rosh Hashanah Mleya Peros. From where do we know that if the sale of the field to the purchaser took place right before Rosh Hashanah, at a point in time when the field was full of produce, growing produce, Shelo Yomar Lo, that the original owner cannot say to the purchaser, Hanoch Lifonai Kederech Shehinachti Loch, I expect you to return to me a field like the one I sold to you. Talmud Lomar B'mispar Shnei Tevuos Yimocher Loch. From this pasuk we learn, Pa'omim Shodom Oichel Shalosh Tevuos B'shtei Shanim. Sometimes it just works out that a person can enjoy three crops within 2 years, and that falls under the legitimate use of the 2 years that a purchaser is entitled to. Glancing at the Rashi across from here, b'mispar shnei tevuos, mashma kol tevuos, all possibilities of grain production shebishtei shanim that could take place within 2 years. Since the pasuk could have written mispar shonim or mispar tevuos, davi mashma shtei tevuos, that would have itself conveyed the idea of two crops, but it doesn't say that. It doesn't say mispar shonim or mispar tevuos. It says mispar shnei tevuos, giving us room to include this possibility of three crops within the 2 years. The Mishnah. Before learning the Mishnah, we have a topic heading in the outside margin, the Nosei, and you can see we have written Chishuvim, calculations, Benogea l'schum tashlum, regarding the amount that must be paid lakone to the purchaser, Begulas Sode, upon the redemption of the field, the purchase back from him, Bemikre shel hefreshim bemechir, with regard to a situation where there are value discrepancies, kishenimkura l'rishon v'shuv nimkura l'sheni, in a case where it was sold to a first purchaser and the purchaser himself turned around and sold it to a second purchaser. We will see the use of a double underline under our Mivneh heading. This is to highlight Hadgoshas Mikrim Shonim, to feature the different cases that appear in the Mishnah. So our Mishnah says, Mochro L'Rishon B'mona. The original owner sold it to a first purchaser at the rate of 100. You could say $100. U'mochar Rishon L'Sheni B'mosayim. And the first purchaser turned around and sold it to a second purchaser for 200. And now the original owner wants to buy it back. He wants to calculate the per year value of the field per year, based on the number of years left till the next yovel. So the Mishnah says, Eino mechashev elo im horishon. The calculation is made only with regard to the sale to the first person, meaning at the $100 rate, so that you would figure out how many years what is the value of the per year value of the field based on the sum total of $100. Shenemar, the pasuk that indicates that the calculation in such a case is made based on the sale to the first, the value of the sale to the first guy, the pasuk says Le'ish asher mochar lo. The pasuk is quoted in full on the side of the Gemara. You could see Vayikra Chof Hei pasuk Chof Zayin. We've written the pasuk. You could see it says there Vechishav es shnei mimkoro. V'heshiv es ha'odef, lo ish asher mochar lo, v'shov l'achuzaso. The Mishnah goes on with another case, mochro l'rishon b'mosayim. Imagine the sale to the first guy was at a rate of 200. U'mochar horishon l'sheni b'mona, and then the first purchaser turned around and sold it to a second fellow for 100. There was a depreciation in the cost and the value. Eino mechashev elo imo acharon. The calculation is made based on the rate paid by the second purchaser, the lower rate. Once again, we're benefiting the original owner in how much he has to pay to redeem his field by charging the lower rate. And how do we know that? Shenemar v'chishav es shnei mimkoro v'heshiv es ha'odef la'ish. And that is understood to mean la'ish asher b'socha, with regard to the person that is in the field, currently in the field. The Mishnah, Rashi on the Mishnah says, Eino mechashev, hamocher kishibo legoalo, the owner, original owner, when he comes to redeem his field from the purchaser, Elohim HaRishon, he deals with the first guy. This is in the case where there was a subsequent increase in property value. Umechashiv kamashonim hoyu misha mochroloi ad shnas hayovel. And then he calculates how many years there were from the time he sold it until the next yovel. Umechashiv kamo magia min hamona lechol shana. How much? What's the fraction of the 100 that was initially paid? What's the fraction of the 100 on a per year basis? And based on that calculation, the per year value, the purchaser will subtract that amount per year that it has been cultivated, and the balance, that is what the original owner has to pay. Continuing in the Mishnah, loy yimkor berachik vigal bekorov. If an owner of a field, original owner, wants to redeem a field that he sold, he is not allowed to sell off property that he owns at a distance in order to buy this field that happens to be closer to his location. Berah vigal biofen. Likewise, he cannot sell off poor quality property in order to buy this better quality, to redeem this better quality field. Velo yilva v'yigal, nor is he allowed to borrow money in order to redeem. Velo yigal l'chatzoyin, nor is he allowed to redeem it in parts. Ubehegdish mutar b'kulan, with regard to redeeming a sanctified field from the rishus, from the domain of the Beis HaMikdash, all of these things are allowed. What we've learned in this Mishnah represents stringencies with regard to redemption from a commoner, who purchased the field, as opposed to the Beis HaMikdash funds who received a dedicated field. Tonu Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source that you can see lasts a number of lines. All of this, that which is in a frame, represents a Tanaic source in Gemara markings. And again, you'll see the use of the double underline to highlight the different cases. Tonu Rabbanan, Mochro l'rishon b'mona, u'mochro ha'rishon l'sheni b'mosayim. The original sale to the first purchaser was at a cost of 100. The first purchaser turned around and sold it to a second purchaser at an increased price at 200. Minayin she'enoi mechashev elo im harishon. From where do we know that the calculation is based on the purchase price with the first one? Tamalomar lo isha sher mochar loi. Mochro l'rishon b'mosayim u'mochar harishon Lasheni b'mona. This is the depreciation case. The sale to the first one was at 200. The subsequent sale from the first purchaser to the second purchaser was at 100. Minayin she'ein mechashev Elohim hasheni. From where do we know that the calculation is made based on the second purchaser? Tamalomar lo ish. Lo ish asher b'socho divrei Rebbe. This approach was similar to that which we saw in the Mishnah. Rabbi Dostoy ben Yehuda Omer, Mochro loy b'mona, if the sale took place worth at the field being worth 100, Vishbicha v'ondo al mosayim. Notice we squiggle underline the new variable here. The purchaser made improvements, or it went up in value while in his possession. From where do we know that with regard to calculating the redemption amount, we don't take into consideration this increased value? That's what it says in the pasuk, ha'odef shebiyodo, the balance based on the money that he received, and not a calculation based on increased based on appreciation. Let us say the original sale took place at a value of 200, and there was depreciation. The omdal mona, and it's now worth 100. Minayin she'ein mechashven ela b'mona. From where do we know that the calculation is based on only 100, on the lower value? Shenemar v'heshiv es ha'odef. Ha'odef shebekarka. The balance in terms of the land, that which the land is worth now. Now, according to both of these approaches, the approach of Rebbe, who is represented in our source here by Roman numeral number 1, and Roman numeral number 2, who presented Rebbe Dostoy ben Yehuda, both of them take the approach that we give the benefit of the lower rate to the purchaser, that he always benefits. If there's any change in rates, the original owner is entitled to pay an annual rate, a per year rate, based on the lower value, whether it's a case of appreciation or depreciation. The Gemara asks, "My binayhu, what is the difference between Rebbe's approach and Rabbi Dostoy ben Yehuda's approach, when after all they're both seeking a leniency for the original owner?" So the point of difference will be the Iker v'zol v'Iker, where the original sale was at the higher price. In the interim, there was a point of time that there was depreciated, but it later on went back up to the original price. If we look in the Rashi, he elaborates on this. Rashi says a few lines down from here, could go into Iker v'zol v'Iker, shemochelo b'masayim. Original sale took place at a value of 200. Umochra rishon l'sheni b'mona, and first purchaser turns around and sells it at 100. V'nisyakur b'yad l'sheni, and then while in the hands of the second purchaser, it appreciated. V'omda al-mosayim, went back to the original 200. L'Rebbe d'omar lo'ish asher b'socha, according to Rebbe, who says that we evaluate it according to the person in the field. Lo yohiv ela mona kamo diyohiv ba sheni. The purchaser, the original owner, will benefit by the fact that the posuk had said we give money according to the man in it, and the man in it, the second purchaser, paid 100 for it. Since he paid 100 for it, and he's the isha sher besocha, the original owner benefits by that interim decrease. The Rebbe Dostoy, Yoiv Mosayim. According to Rebbe Dostoy's approach, 200 shall be the basis of the calculation, the higher amount. The Amris Oidev Shibiyodo, if you base it on the amount of money in his hand, Ha Mosan Shokil Mikamo, the original owner received 200. The E Amris Oidev Shibikarka, and if you say the balance in terms of the value of the land, then ha mosan shavio, the land is currently worth 200. So, according to Rav Dostoy, either way you look at it, the numbers will be the higher amount, the 200 amount. Continuing in the Gemara, mimai delekula dilma lechumra. Who is to say that all of these calculations are in the direction of leniency for original owner? Maybe we should take the opposite approach and seek stringency. In other words, force the owner, if he comes to redeem the field from the purchaser, to pay the higher amount. The Gemara answers, lo salka daitach, one cannot entertain that idea. De gomar geula geula me evid ivri. There is a word comparison in which we learn the parsha of redeeming sold inheritance fields from the parsha, from the section dealing with redemption of a Jewish servant, Jewish slave, the Hasam Minolon. And from where do we know over there, in the case of redemption of Jewish slave, that we entitle him to pay the lower amount when there is change in value. Disanyo. So now get into a section that we've entitled on the outside margin under our no say, Chishuvim, calculations, Be'inyin Geulas Eved Ivri, with regard to the redemption of a Jew sold into slavery. So we have a source. Again, you'll see the use of the double underline to feature cases. Nimkar b'mona, a man was sold into slavery at an amount of 100. Vishpiach, and he appreciated the Omar al Masayim, and he's now worth 200. Minayin she'ein mechashvin ela mi mona. From where do we know that in order to calculate the amount he shall pay or others shall pay for his redemption at the 100 rate, at the lower rate, shenemar, the pasuk says mikesef miknoso, that the calculation to figure out the amount he is the per year value of this individual is based on the kesef miknoso, the amount paid for his purchase. So in this case, the amount paid for his purchase was 100. Now the opposite situation, nimkar b'mosayim v'hichsif yomer almona, he was sold for 200 and depreciated and is worth 100. Minayin shein mechashvin ela mimona, from where do we know that we make the calculation based on the 100 rate? Shenemar kfi shonov. Rashi says at the three lines from the bottom, kfi shonov mashma kfi shonim she'omad bohen. Klomar lefi mashu shove ba'ois shah. The kfi shonov indicates how much he is worth right now. V'ein li elo, the brisa goes on, v'ein li elo eved ivri hanim kalo v'kachovim shenigal v'yodo al yona. As far as the psukim are concerned, these deal with cases of a Jew sold to an idol worshipper, and in such a case we give the benefit to the Jew in order to achieve his freedom from the idol worshipper that bought him. Nimkar v'sherminayin, from where do we know that the same approach will be taken to a Jew sold to another Jew? Talmud Lomar, Sochir, Sochir, Ligzera Shava. There's a word comparison, the word Sochir, that you find by person sold to idol worshipper and person sold to Jewish owner. And that enables us to make this comparison that we give the benefit of the lower rate to the slave himself in order to achieve his redemption. And with that idea, we say also we give the same benefit of lower rate to owner of inheritance field that sold it and wants to redeem it. Omar Abaye. Now we turn to Omid Beis, Lamed Omid Beis at the top. Hareini keben Azai. Abaye announces that I feel today like Ben Azai, Beshuke Teveria. Ben Azai in the markets of Teveria. Rashi points out that Ben Azai was a phenomenal Torah scholar, and he felt a sense of maybe for lack of better term, a sense of superiority. Now, not in the condescending fashion or in any haughty way, but in a sense of scholastic excellence. And as such, Ben Azai would say, you know, he would present himself in his ability to field any question, if you will. So he says, Abaye lived in Bavel, and he says, I have this feeling of excellence has overcome me. Omar le hahu merabonon labaye. So Abaye is basically drawing fire, so to speak, or he's offering his services as able to answer any questions. So someone here takes him up on it and presents him with a question. Now, before we go further, we have a structural note, the mivneh that you see on the outside margin, the triangles used in varying positions, sometimes positioned point up and sometimes down. With the point up, we've called this a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the back and forth nature of this piece of Gemara. So with the point facing up, kushios, they represent questions, and the point down, tshuvos, responses. So this someone comes up to Abaye, Omalei, Hahu Mirabonal Abaye. The Gemara continues on the second line. Someone comes to Abaye and says, Iko lemidrashinu lekula, viko lemidrashinu lechumra. These psukim that we've learned regarding the Eved Ivri the redemption of a Jewish slave, one can darshan them, can expound on them in the direction of leniency, and one can take the same psukim and expound on them in the direction of stringency. Mimai de lukula, ema lechumra. Who is to decide? Who says that we are to take the lenient approach with regard to the slave himself and not the stringent approach? Answer, lo sakadaitoch. One cannot even think to take the to take a strict approach in enabling this person to achieve his freedom. Mida okil rachmona gabe, from the fact that we see the Torah has a lenient attitude, a beneficial attitude, benevolent attitude toward this slave, to this Jewish slave. Desanya, we have a Tanaic source that illustrates our benevolent, the Torah's benevolent attitude toward this person. The pasuk says, ki toiv lo imoch, that when you buy a Jew to serve you, to work for you in a forced work situation, once you buy him, and the Torah speaks about Jewish slavery in the context of people who had debts who could not pay them, or people who had stolen things and had no means of repaying it, so they enter this period of servitude known as Eved Ivri. The pasuk nevertheless describes this situation as ki toiv lo imach. It must be good for him when he is with you, the purchaser. Imach b'maichol, imach b'mishta, together with you in food, together with you in drink. Shalotei, we don't want a situation, shalotei ata oichel, where you are eating pasnikia, fine bread, clean bread, free of debris. V'hu ochel pas kevar, and he is eating bread with debris in it. Ata shoysi yayin yoshan, where you are drinking aged wine, which is considered high quality wine. V'hu shoysi yayin chodesh, and he's drinking fresh wine, which is of lesser value, lesser quality. Ata yoshan agabi muchen, where you're sleeping on soft material. V'hu yoshan agabi karka, and he is sleeping on the hard ground. In other words, any of these situations cannot be accepted. Mikan omru, from this it has been said, hakoina ev, one who buys for himself a Jew as a servant is in effect buying for himself a master, where he has to make sure that the conditions that the Jew who is in his domain must be at least as good, if not better, than his own conditions. So what do we see? We see that the Torah has a benevolent attitude toward the Eved Ivri, and hence that explains why we also want to give him the benefit of the lower redemption rate, whereby he redeems himself, frees himself from his work situation by paying the lower amount. Question. Now here we have a very long question. You'll notice that through our markings, the triangle is featured in the little space to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line, indicating that all of these lines make up what we call the question. And there will be certain points in this long question that there are brackets, and even internal brackets, brackets within brackets, that we will deal with when we get there. But the basic theme of this long question is to show that, in fact, we ought to be strict with people sold into slavery. Adarabba, nachmir olei, Adarabba means to the contrary, let us exercise stringency with regard to this individual, mid Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, based on Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina's teaching. Come and see how severe the violation of even the Afka, the minor laws of Shvius, can be. He's going to illustrate how one has to be careful with regard to laws of the sabbatical year, of the Shemitah year, even those laws which are not of primary importance. And we will see throughout this drasha a string of events that befall a person who is initially not careful
with Shvius. And the Afka Shel Shvius, is a reference to, we said, a secondary type violation of Shvius. Shemitah year is a year in which agricultural activity must come to a halt based on the Torah law. There is an additional law concerning conducting commerce with Peros Shvius, with the fruit produce of Shvius, and that is a prohibition, but it's a lower level prohibition. And nevertheless, the Torah tells us that one, through the juxtaposition of verses, that one who conducts commerce with Shvius produce, with Shemitah year products, he will suffer the consequences. And they build up, as we will see. So the Gemara continues, Adam noisei v'noisei b'peiros Shvius. Now we've squiggle underlined this to show its prominence, that this is the theme of what we're about to seek. This concerns a person who noisei v'noisei conducts commerce with Shemitah produce. L'soif, now we're using diamonds, and you'll see on the side of the Gemara, the outside margin, we have the noisei, the topic heading, which states, kama kosha afka shel Shvius, how severe a violation, or how severe the consequences are for someone who violates the avka, literally the powder, or the secondary laws of Shvius. And under the mivneh, we have the diamond featured. These represent shlavei, stages, anisha, of punishment, b'misha seicher b'peirus Shvius, of one who does, in fact, conduct commerce with Shvius produce. So back to the Gemara, we described the person who conducts business with Shvius produce. L'soif moicher es metaltalov. He will come to a situation of financial crunch where he'll have to sell off his portables. Shneamar b'shnas hayovel hazos toshuvu ish el achuzaso uksiv v'chisimkuru memkar lamisecha oikona miyad amisecha. We have to point out that the first pasuk quoted here, b'shnas hayovel, even though it's a reference to the Yovel year is characterized by a prohibition of agriculture activity, so that Yovel and Shemitah are at times used interchangeably. And in this pasuk, so we see a reference to Shemitah year, and also next to that, there's a pasuk that deals with the sale of portables. And from this pasuk of Achisimkru Memkar Misecho, Konami Ad Misecho, we learn Dovar Hanikne Miadli, something that is acquired through passage from hand to hand, which means a portable. So the idea of this juxtaposition of psukim is that one who violates Yovel or Shemitah will come to needing funds, because he'll end up losing money. A divine intervention, there's a divine cause of his lack of funds because he violated Shemitah rules, and he will end up needing to sell off his own portables in order to get the needed money. Lo Hirgish. Sometimes, you know, people don't take the cue. They don't feel it. Rashi says, Lo nizdazea lo shuv min avera. He doesn't get shaken up. He doesn't realize that why is he in such a financial crunch that he has to sell off his portables. He doesn't feel it, and he continues doing the sin. L'soif moicher es sodosov. He's going to then come to selling off his fields. Shenemar v'chiyomu chochicho u'mochar me'achuzoso. In the same parsha, this is featured as well, that when the pasuk describes someone becoming impoverished and thereby needing to sell off his property. Lobos liyodo. Now, this expression, lobos liyodo, Rashi says, mashma shelo yale aliboy she oise shumavera. At this point, it doesn't even occur to him that he is doing any sin. He and continues his sale of Shemitah produce after he's already sold his portables, sold his land, and he's now become numb, if you will. L'soif mecher is basil, then end up selling his house. All of this because his poverty is increasing. Shenemar v'ish kimkor b'is moish avir choyma.
And here this pasuk features the sale of houses in walled cities, but it's a reference to the sale of houses in the same parsha. So we have a progression of events taking place. We have a bracketed section. The bracket length indicator you can see on the intermediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. If we skip the brackets momentarily, this scenario continues, lo bos liodo, and as we said before, he doesn't even pay attention to what's happening to him, and ad shemocher es bito, until he ends up selling his daughter in order to get funds, sells her off into a situation of a Jewish bondmaid, and she stays in servitude until age 12. Before we go on in this sequence of events, let us return to the beginning of the bracketed section. The Gemara, we have a little note with accompanied by the star in the inside margin, where we've noted Besoch Sograim Elu, within this bracketed section, Vaboy Machraim, and a subsequent bracketed section that we'll see a little later, Nimso Heoros Nekudatiois, we will see specific points that the Gemara makes, the Emsa Sidras Anisha, that in the middle of the sequence of punishments that this person is receiving, punishment after punishment. So, that bearing that in mind, we already pointed out that the sequence of punishments is going to pick up after this bracketed section. We now read, "My shno hasam de komar lo hirgish." Why, after the first stage, we spoke about the person who sold after violating the rules of Shemitah, he needed to sell off his portables in order to get needed funds. And at that point, after the first, we'll say, first punishment, the expression used by the Gemara is lo hir gish. We have a little arrow to the immediate right, left-hand side of the Gemara text, and you can use this arrow to navigate upwards, where you see, again, above, also an arrow with the dashed underlined expression lo hir gish. So why is it that at that point the expression of lo hir gish was used? My shna hacha, and why is it now, namely, after the second punishment, in other words, he initially violated, received the punishment, continued violating, received the punishment, and now continues violating. So why now does the Gemara use the expression dekama lo bos liyado? The Gemara answers, the difference in these expressions is based on Rav Huna's teaching. De Omar Rav Huna, Kid Rav Huna, De Omar Rav Huna, Kivon Shavar Adam Aver Vishanaba. Once a person violates and repeats the violation. Now we have this internal bracket, so we just skip it for a moment. Nasis lo keheter. The offense becomes in his eyes like something that is totally allowed. In other words, a person gets into a routine of sinning, it then becomes in his own eyes as something allowed. Now, let's go over this line again, but with the brackets, these angular brackets. Rav Huna had said, Kivan Shovar Odom Avera Vishonaba Hutra Lo. Now, that Loshen is just in it. This can't be explained. Hutra Lo means it becomes allowed. Hutra Lo Sakadef. Do you mean to say that if a person sins twice, it then becomes allowed? Elo, Emo, rather say, Nasis Lo Keter. In his eyes, it becomes like allowed. Not that it's actually allowed. So that what we illustrated in the Gemara was we had, again, from the beginning, a person violated the rules of Shemitah. That's his first violation, and then he gets a punishment. He doesn't take note of that, and then violates it again. At that point, he's now violated twice. So after having violated twice, before the onset of the next punishment, the expression is lo hir gish. Or we say, after the second punishment, or actually prior to the second punishment, the expression of lo hir gish was used, because he, at that point, he had basically had violated, received the punishment, and he had only violated it once, and then received the punishment, and the lo hir gish is an expression used before the actual second violation, but he's still, at that point, there was a chance that he would have noted it, but he didn't get shaken up. But there was a chance he could have gotten shaken up because he hadn't violated it twice. After that, Lo Hirgish, he's now violated twice, received another punishment. Upon the next violation, we're talking about the third violation, it's already in his eyes like something that's allowed. And hence the expression of Lo Bos Liodo, where, as Rashi says, it doesn't even occur to him that he's done anything wrong. So, just to review this point again, after one violation, before a second violation, there's a chance a person will feel that he's about to do something wrong, but after he's a repeat violator, then there is little chance that he'll feel he's doing anything wrong, because it's become like mutter in his eyes, become like allowed in his eyes. Well, we have this person on the roll, so to speak. He's so far received several punishments because he's continuing in his forbidden ways. We continue after the brackets, Lo Bos Liodo Ad Shemocher Isbito. He continues violating, not realizing that he's sinning until he comes to a point where he sells his own daughter to get money. Shenemar V'chiyimkor Ish Es Bitoy Lo'omo. Now, we have a bracketed section after which you see, if we skip the brackets again, you notice Lo Bos Liodo. Again, he's not aware, he's still not aware that he's sinning, and he continues sinning with the sale of Shemitah produce, L'sof Shemocher Es Atzmo. He ends up selling himself. In the brackets, the Gemara is going to point out that the pasuk of Vechim Kor Ish Es Bito Lo'omo is not in the section of Vayikra Chof Hei, which deals with the person selling Shemitah produce and these series of setbacks. So I understand that there's a series of offenses that befalls, a series of punishments that befalls a person when they're taught in the same parsha as a series of punishments. This reference to a person coming to sell his daughter isn't in this section. So how does the Gemara know, how does Rabbi Yossi Berchanina know that he is going to come to this when it's not in this very section? So we read the brackets. V'afogav debito b'hai inyono leso. Even though the issue of selling off one's daughter is not in, it's not stated in the Torah in this section, the sale of one's daughter is in Sefer Shmois, and the violation of Shvius and the subsequent punishments that befall him are in Sefer Vayikra. So the Gemara is pointing out, even though the sale of daughter is not in this section, Nichol Inish, it's a person it's more comfortable for a person to Lizvin Barte to sell his own daughter, Velo Lezit Bervisa, just so that he shouldn't come to having to borrow money and pay back loans with interest. Diluhasam migra the Ozla. In the case of the sale of a daughter, in order to get her back, the amount that he has to pay decreases year by year. Diluhacha, when it comes to the amount that a person has to pay off to pay his loan with interest, kol moisva the Ozla. The interest is constantly an amount building up. It increases every amount of time that goes by until the loan is fully paid off. He's paying more and more interest. That's why a person would opt to first sell off his daughter before borrowing money with interest. So that it's an assumption that is made here, that after a person has to sell off, we saw he sold off his house, the next thing he'll end up doing, if he continues in his financial decline, he'll sell off his daughter. However, this fellow continues, not aware that he's sinning, Lo Bos Liodo, L'sof, Shemocher Es Atzmo. He'll come to sell himself. And now this is back in the Parsha of Vayikra Chof Hei, where it says, V'chiyomu Chochicho Imoch V'nim Kaloch. When describes a person hitting financial hardship, ending up selling himself. And when a person comes to sell himself, Lo L'cha Elo L'ger, he isn't necessarily going to sell himself to a fellow Jew, but rather to a ger, shenemar lager, V'lo leger tzedek. The term ger is often associated with a convert to Judaism, but not so in this case. We're not talking about someone selling himself to a ger of that nature. Elo leger toshav. Rather, it's a person that lives in Israel, who's accepted upon himself a limited set of laws, whereby he accepts upon himself not to be an idol worshiper, but he's not converting to Judaism. And the Gemara goes on to say, well, this fellow who's now finding himself in such financial hardships and needing to sell himself, so we said he's not necessarily going to sell himself to a fellow Jew, nor to a convert. And now we're going to say, Kshomer O Le'eker, the Pasuk uses that expression, O Le'eker, Ze Hanimkar Benase Mishoris Lavidus Kechovim Atzma. He might find himself being sold even to a church or an idolatrous house of worship, where he'll sell himself into a position where he'll be a janitor or a servant to an idol. He'll have to serve in that, and that will say the very lowly capacity as someone having serving an idol. That's the end of our very long question. What's the point over here? We see that when we're talking about someone who had to sell himself, he is regarded as having come to that position as a result of continuous sinning. So you see that the approach, the attitude that we ought to have to him should be an attitude of stringency. We're dealing, after all, with a person who is a chain sinner. Omar Lay. So we respond to that, where it could very well be Abaye responds, Ha Ahadre Kra. However, if you continue looking at the psukim, you see that the psukim take an opposite or a reverse approach, a positive approach, a benevolent approach. The Tana Debe Rabbi Shmuel, the school of Rabbi Shmuel teaches, Hoyel v'holach u'mocha asma levis k'chovim. Since this man went and sold himself off to serve an idol, to serve as a caretaker of an idol, idche even achar anofel, should we cast the stone after he that fell? Which we're describing a person who has fallen. He's fallen on hard times, and true, he's fallen on hard times because of sins that he's accumulated. So should we cast the stone after him? Namely, and Rashi says that he should not be redeemed ever. Talmud Lomar, the Torah says, and we have a girsa that's found at the lower part of the page, Geulo Tia Loi Echod Me Echov Yigolenu. The Pasuk says that he shall be redeemed. One of his brothers, one of his relatives, should come to redeem him. Question, Emo Geulo Tia Lo. I could say that it's fine. The Torah makes a provision for his redemption from his enslavement, which simply tells us the lo litma ba'ovdei kechavim, that he shouldn't become absorbed and absorbed into the life of idolatry. But as far as calculating the amount to be paid for his redemption, we should be strict. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok. So Rav Nachman answers, Ksiv, we have two psukim. One says, Im oid revois bashonim, uksiv im ma'at nishar bashonim. V'chi yesh shonim merubos, v'yesh shonim muatos. Is there such a thing as long years and as short years? So what do these psukim mean, revois bashonim and ma'at nishar bashonim? What do they mean? Ella? Nisrabe Kaspoi, they are teaching us that if he increased in value, then Mikesef Miknoso, then the amount to be calculated is based on the original purchase price, the lesser amount. Nismayit Kaspo, if he decreased in value, then Kfi Shonov, then the calculation is made based on his current value. So from this we see that the calculation made for a Eved Ivri's redemption is to benefit the Eved Ivri, to make it easier to redeem him. Question: the Ema, maybe these psukim are to be understood differently, having nothing to do with increase, with appreciation and depreciation. Hecha de'ova tarti upaishi arbai, where a person worked 2 of the 6 years, leaving a balance of 4 years, at which point he seeks redemption. So leisiv le arba mikesav miknoso. So the value of the balance of 4 years is paid. Vehecha de'ovad arba upaishi tati, and where a person had worked for 4 and there remains 2 years toward the balance of his work period, total of 6 years, leisiv le tarti kafishonav. There, the value of 2 years of work is paid to redeem him, because that's the amount of time that's left till his period of work would complete, would terminate. So at this point, the Gemara is raising the possibility that these two psukim simply are referring to two different situations of balance in time, but not a reference at all to appreciation and depreciation. So the answer to that is im kein nichtoiv. Well, if that be the case, so then let the Torah write im oid revois shonim. My bashonim, the base of the word bashonim that's found in the pasuk, clues us into this, namely nisrabe kaspo bashonim, in the course of years if there was appreciation, then mikesef miknoso, the rate is paid based on his value at time of purchase. Nismayit kaspo bashonim, if in the course of the years there was depreciation, then kafi shonov, according to his current value. Omar Rav Yosef, darshinu Rav Nachman lahani kroi kesinai. Rav Nachman, who entered the this discussion just a few lines above, where you see his name is underlined. Rav Yosef is very impressed with his skillful analysis of the psukim, saying that he has darshan them, he's explained them as if he received this from Mount Sinai. Before continuing in the Gemara, we want to take note of the topic heading in the outside margin. The Gemara will deal with Mahi Mashmous Hamila Umotza. What is the intention of the word, or what does Umotza connotate? Hashta o Meikora. Does it mean something that one chances upon now, achieves, acquires now, or is it a reference to something that had been in had been there prior, earlier? This may sound, it might sound at this point a bit abstract, but through examples that the Gemara presents, we will appreciate this issue more. Before going further, the Gemara will be darshaning a pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Chav Hei, Pasuk Chavav, which we have supplied on the inside margin. The pasuk reads, Ve'ish ki lo ye lo goyel, a person who has no redeemer, V'hisiga yodo umotza kedei geulaso, and he has now come by, achieved an amount that through which, with which he can redeem. Well, we're talking right now about the redemption of inheritance land that a person happened to have sold to someone, and that now he wants to buy it back. So there are rules, and we saw these rules in the Mishnah. You can't do just whatever you like in order to buy back the field. There are restrictions. So the Gemara continues, Lo yimkor barachok. The Mishnah mentioned that you cannot sell off property that you currently own that may be at a distance in order to get funds to redeem this property which may be nearby. Mino hani mili detonu rabbanan. What is the source for that which we have been taught? So the source begins, v'hisiga yodoi. And from this we learn, yad atzmo, that money that you yourself achieve, acquire. However, shelo yilvev yigal, you should not, this pasuk is telling us you should not borrow. Borrowed money is not your own money. So you shouldn't borrow money in order to use those funds to redeem a field. Umatsa, the pasuk made reference to this word. Prat lemotsui, this is to the exclusion of property or of means that you already have, you are already in possession of. And from this we learn, shelo yimkar barochak vigol bakrov, you're not allowed to sell off property that you already own in order to redeem this field that you had sold that may be closer. Baravi yigalviyofen, nor are you allowed to sell off poor quality property that you already own in order to buy or redeem this better quality field that you had sold. The pasuk says, "Kidei geula so, kidei geula hu goel, ve'eino goel chasoin." When you buy back, you buy back the complete property and not in parts. So from this we learn that, from the word umatsa, we learn it, the funds used for redemption of field that was sold must be funds that you that are newly acquired monies, something that you monies that you came into now. Lameimra de motza hashto mashma. Are you saying then that the word motza implies something of a current nature that you now came into the funds and they were not they were there and not funds that were in your possession already when you at the time that you sold the field? Viraminu, we now raise a contradiction from a posuk in a from a totally different context. This has to do with the death, the killing of a person in an inadvertent fashion. It's called Rotzeach B'Shogeg. The Pasuk is featured on the inside margin Dvarim, Perek Yutes Pasuk Hei, and it reads as follows. The Pasuk, and we have it written there, you can see, Vasher Yavoi Esrael Bayar, Vachto Veitzim, someone enters a forest to chop wood, V'nidche Yodah B'Garzen, Lichroi Soetz, and he maneuvers his hatchet to chop the tree, v'noshal abarzel minoetz, and the axe head flings off, v'motzo esreu meis, and the axe kills the flying axe kills the victim. Hu yonus el achas haorim o'elo v'chai, the killer is to the inadvertent killer, he runs to one of the cities of refuge in order to save himself from the blood avenger. Well, in that pasuk, we saw the expression umotza esreihu. Now, in our Gemara, we have a Tanaic source umotza prat lemamtzi atzmoi. Now, that means that the person is the victim umotza esreihu v'meis. Rashi says shehoya chaveru motzui shom b'shal sheherim ze'agarzen, when the killer picked up the axe to chop, the ultimate victim was already there. So umotza indicates something that already was there. Prat lemamtzi atzmo, to the exclusion of a case where only after the axe was picked up, then the party came in. The victim then entered the picture. In such a case, there would be no obligation to go to the city of refuge. Mikan Omer Belozer, im kish mishiyotza even mitachas yodoi. If you have, let's say, someone hurling a rock, after the rock left the hands of the person throwing it, Hotzi halo es rosho v'kibla, someone stuck his head out a window and thereby was impacted by the flying rock. Potter, the rock thrower, will be exempt. The point being, almo, we see from here motza midi di ise me kora mashma. The word motza means something that was there originally, something that was prior. In other words, in the case of the wood chopper, before he started chopping wood, the victim was present. Or the case of the rock hurler, before the rock was hurled, the victim was already there, was in position to be killed. So we see that motza indicates something that had to have been there beforehand. And yet, in our case of field redemption, we're talking about funds that are acquired right now, namely after the sale had taken place. And one cannot use funds that had been there from the outset. How do we resolve this seeming contradiction in the understanding of the word motza? Oma, Rava says, it all depends on context. Hocha minyona dekra, v'hocha minyona dekra. In each case, we look at the context. Hocha, in the case of field redemption, the pasuk used the word umatsa together with the expression of v'hisiga yodoi. So, hocha dumya dehisiga yodo, which means something that he acquired, achieved. Ma hisiga yodo dehashto, just like hisiga yodo in the pasuk means and that he now achieves the funds. Af motzanami dahashta, so too motza is taken in the same context as something chanced upon now and not prior. The hocha, in the case of the inadvertent murder, the rotzach b'shogeg dumya diyar, it's taught in the context of a forest, where the person went into a forest to chop wood. Ma'yar milsudisa meikar, just like a forest is something that was there before. Af motza milsa deise meikar. So too, the word motza in that case, as a reference to the victim, is a reference to a victim that was there before the axe was being handled or maneuvered. The Mishnah taught us, uvehekdish mutar bekulan, that with regard to the redemption of a field that was dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash, if a person dedicated his stei achuza to the Beis HaMikdash and he wants to redeem it, so the restrictions that we saw with regard to the redemption of a sold field do not apply to the case of the redemption of a sanctified field. Mino hanimili. From where do we know, in the case of the redemption of a sanctified field, that a person can borrow and can redeem in parts? The Tana Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source, and we should point out that we offer a topic heading to this section of the Gemara under our No Say heading, HaMakor de Behegdish Loiv VeGoyel, looking for a source that, with regard to sanctified fields, a person can borrow to redeem, and Goyel HaHatzon also redeem in sections, in parts. So the source begins, Ve'im Go'ol Yigal, this is a quote from the Pasuk, Melamed Shaloiv VeGoyel, from here we learn that a person can borrow to redeem, and he can also redeem in parts. Amar Rabbi Shimon, Matam. Rabbi Shimon says, well, what's the reason for this leniency? Lufi Shimotzinu. So he says that we found in the other parsha, the Moicher Steachuza, in the case of someone who sells an inheritance field, she yofa koichoi, he has a strength, shem higia yoivav lo nigala chazeres lebayim liovel, in the absence of any redemption, the original owner will get his field back anyway. In other words, even if he doesn't redeem the field prior to the yovel, eventually he will get it back. And we also know in the case of steachuza, hora kochel, there is a weakness, she'eno loivav agoyel, that he's not allowed to borrow to redeem, nor is he allowed to redeem in sections. So that we can call positive and negative with regard to steachuza. Avo makdish steachuza, however, with regard to the sanctification of an inheritance field, hoil shahura koichai, shimigia yoiva velo nigala, yoitzilikona, we see a weak feature, a negative feature, with regard to the owner that if the yovel arrives and he hasn't redeemed it, he loses it altogether. It's distributed amongst the Kohanim. So that, in contrast with the case of Mocher Steachuza, with regard to yovel, by the Mocher Steachuza, the original owner has a strength that he gets it anyway, gets it back anyway. In contrast, you find the sanctifier of the Steachuza, with regard to yovel, he has a weakness. So, as we said before, with regard to the seller, of a field, there's a positive and negative. So too, we expect to find by the sanctifier a positive and negative. Well, a negative we found. That's with regard to the Yovel. Therefore, Yofa Koichai, Sheloiva V'goyel, V'goyel L'chatzoyen. We therefore have a strength that we afford him. After all, he's going to lose it if he doesn't make a move. He's going to lose it when the Yovel comes, so we have a benefit for him that we allow him to borrow, to redeem it, and to redeem in parts. The Gemara continues at the top of Daf Lamed Aleph. Toni Chada, one source, says, Loive v'goyel v'goyel l'chatzoyin. Now, there's a Machlokis Rashi and Tosfos, what these sources are referring to. According to Rashi, they're referring to someone who sanctifies a stei achuza, a field, an inheritance field. According to the Re found in Tosfos, it's a reference to the sale of houses in walled cities. So we have two sources. One source says he can borrow and redeem, and he can also redeem in parts. V'tani idoch eino love v'goyel, v'eino goyel l'chatzoyin. He's not allowed to borrow in order to redeem, nor is he allowed to redeem in parts. So we have two sources that seem to be contradictory. Loi kashio, they're not contradictory. Ha rabbonon, v'ha Rebbe Shimon. One represents the opinion of the rabbonon, and the other represents the opinion of Rebbe Shimon. Now, Rashi points out that Rebbe Shimon was seen at the bottom of Lamed Omid Beis, where in the case of Makdish Shtei Achuza, one could loive v'goyel l'chatzoyin. So according to the approach taken by Rashi, the sources are dealing with Makdish Shtei Achuza, and the first source that says loive v'goyel l'goyel l'chatzoyin, that's according to Rebbe Shimon, who made that presentation. And in contrast with Rebbe Shimon, we have the Rabbonon that would disagree and say that he cannot borrow in order to redeem, nor redeem in parts. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.